Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. And nothing gets me down. You got it tough. I've seen the toughest around.
And I know. Welcome back in the Morning Hookup, man. Having a great time on a Tuesday. And it gets even better on a Tuesday. Usually around this time. Our guy, Brian Munson, HuskerOnline.com, joins us. Brian, how are you on this beautiful Tuesday?
I'm doing all right, man. Just kind of trying to get recalibrated for the upcoming week in games and finally maybe some potential visitors to talk about this week, right?
Absolutely. Well, so we'll start off because it's Turn the Page Tuesday. You're the last chance we get to talk about Nebraska, Michigan State. After this, it's stricken from the record, okay? That's how we do it on a Tuesday.
Good riddance for all of you, for you and your listeners, huh?
Yeah, it's like we're done. You look back at this game and we'll start positive. Nebraska's elite second half defense. What could be said? Like, you look at that, 15 plays, 14 yards, no first downs. I mean,
unreal.
What can be said? I mean, one, that's one of the most elite halves I've ever seen, probably, and I think Nebraska fans, even going back, have to say, wow, that was really impressive. But what could be said about the Chenander and everything, the staff, and you had Kenneth Walker coming in this thing, averaging 165, and you essentially just shut that thing down.
I could not have said that any better. I don't know what can be said for those guys because they kept that team in it the entire way. Mm-hmm. This is the part here where I try to kind of make sense of it on Twitter. the defense's performance and keeping Michigan State, basically with no yards in the fourth quarter, doing such a great job to hold their running game in check, which obviously I think everybody was concerned with. And basically, they were averaging 30 points a game, and kept that down to half. And you don't win, and the offense can't come through. That's why I put up, on Twitter at the end of it, these guys deserve to win, and it's not coming through. And again, special teams rears its ugly head in the fourth quarter, and it's just been. If it's going to happen and it's bad, it's snake bitten so badly, it's going to happen in Nebraska, unfortunately, right now. And they got to still clean some things up. And it's the same song, different verse that you and I sang last week when it comes to special teams and penalties. And these are the things that are still getting in the way of Nebraska from winning football games. And there was also some play calling, and I saw some explanation for it on social media a little bit later on, because I even was complaining about all the runs to the A gap, and everybody was trying to say, well, they block them differently, but they're getting the same result.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how you're blocking. If you're blocking it differently and it's the same run to the same spot by the same guy on this series or this set of downs or whatever, and it still gets tackled by the nose tackle, you got to try to find something else, because however you're blocking it is not making a difference in terms of productivity. So that was something else that I just never really quite understood about needing to kind of maybe keep Michigan State disciplined in that regard to, hey, that A-gap run's going to come in sometime soon. It didn't matter. Nebraska was never going to be able to break that one right there, because they were losing at the point of attack in the A-gap, period. It just was not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So difficult to see the defense not have the game go their way in terms of the win-loss column, but what a performance. I mean, oh my gosh, that was the part where I just could not hang my head after seeing that, because they played their butts off.
We're talking to Brian Munson with HuskerOnline.com. Brian, we had a reaction show here on ESPN Lincoln after the game, and it seemed like a lot of people were, you know, upset at Martinez and how he played on Saturday, but I just couldn't help but notice, I do not think we lost that game because of Martinez.
I don't either. In fact, the penalty that he get, or the play where he gets the gets knocked out and has to come out of the game, there's a missed targeting. And I don't know if anybody's, any of your listeners or if you guys have played the game, but if you guys have not taken the crown of the helmet under your face mask and into your jaw, it is not fun. Nope. That is not a fun one to take. And obviously I only did that one time before. It was at the high school level, but that was enough for me to say I never wanted that to happen, to have that happen again. That's an incredibly tough guy. And I don't really fault him anything at all. Again, I felt like the management was pretty solid. I didn't think the play calling was all this great this game by comparison to the OU game. I felt like there were some things that Nebraska just chose to kind of stay away from, and things that they decided that they weren't going to challenge, and they didn't feel like they needed to challenge. And I was more confused by that than anything that, you know, would have turned back around and said, oh, that one's on Martinez. Like, I just didn't feel like I said that a whole lot on Saturday versus some games before in the past where, you know, there have been some things where it's been a decision or forcing something or whatever that you could literally come away and go, that was a poor decision. He should not have made that throw. He should have thrown it away. Or this other thing happened. I just didn't find myself really doing that too much on Saturday. However, I would say this. I saw that a lot of people were scared, like when they saw Smothers come in. I thought Smothers played reasonably well for the time that he was in the ballgame. I knew that he overthrew that one, and that's a tough pass because when you've got a guy sitting down and you have two layers of the zone over there on the sideline and that receiver's supposed to kind of sit down in the middle of it, depending on wherever that safety or that linebacker, the depth that it takes, that window can be either a little bit wider or, in this case, it was a little tighter. That's a tough throw to make for anybody. So I thought he played reasonably well. So I think that was a positive.
You know, Brian, probably last one on this one for this game for me. The thing that miffed me a little bit, obviously special teams, I ain't going to talk about it. We know where they're at, okay? They just got to get it fixed, and I don't know how they do it. But at the end of the game, in the fourth quarter, you get the ball back, 47 seconds left. Get a really nice play out in first. You got a first down again. You take the sack, and then you sit on it.
Yep.
I was a little miffed there with two timeouts because going back to the no fear of failure comment that we hear a lot, I felt like at that moment, and again, he said it, there's so many things that could go wrong. But to me, that was like, man, you think you might fail. Like, you're not going to have the no fear of failure. And I think that was a moment where I'm like, man, I'm just a little miffed by why you don't give the chance. And going back to it, you haven't scored in five straight overtime games. Not that you wouldn't have scored in this, but five straight.
I agree with what you're saying, and I put that on Twitter too. I said, Nebraska went ahead and went into the end of regulation with two timeouts remaining for that in overtime. And I didn't understand it. I didn't quite get what the game plan was at that point. And I felt like they did have a great play on first down, and they did take a sack. And that was something that was probably like the, now that we kind of said it, going back to the previous question, maybe that was like the only thing that I probably talked to Martinez about, was like, we can't take a sack on third down again.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's such a bad spot for us to take that, you know, take that thing. If you're going to do something there, let's try to tuck it up and run it or get a short gainer or, you know, but not get tackled for a loss for 8 yards. And that was something that continually came up time and time and time again, was that pass pro could not hold up on third downs. They just could not get there. But getting back to your point, I said the same exact thing. I didn't quite understand why Nebraska gave up, you know, there at the end of the game. I don't feel like the year that Jamal Turner caught the touchdown in the corner of that end zone on the out route.
Yep.
I kind of felt like that was still Nebraska's game to win, even regardless of playing in Lansing and where they were at scoreboard wise. When Nebraska, however, based on like the punt return that happened prior to that, and grinding out basically the entire game to get, you know, that one kind of touchdown run off the left side that Martinez had, I felt like Nebraska struggled throughout the day, and Nebraska has never been good. And I say this again because there was somebody that was pointing to an article this morning about how Martinez has regressed as a red zone passer. If they didn't watch last season, this was something that I had been talking about since then, because I felt like there was not necessarily the right targets, you know, to the right receivers in the red zone. I don't think that they've ever used a guy in his height correctly when it comes to having Austin Allen, when you have a guy like Manning and now a Toure that are 6'2", 6'3", and above guys at the tight end positions as well, to really kind of use that height and that vertical game to kind of get over there and go above the defensive backs and get the football and come down the end zone. But Nebraska struggles when they get the ball inside that red zone, man. They tend not to be able to score touchdowns, and they are much more dependent on getting points by way of field goal and going away from it. And that's something that's not just been plaguing this season. It plagued them last year. So I just don't think that this team is kind of built to do that inside the red zone, unfortunately. And I think it all comes away with just that inability to kind of dial up the right play and the right combination to kind of get that touchdown when they're in there in the red zone or close enough to the end zone, basically. Otherwise, everything seems to be kind of a longer play, you know, or mm-hmm. I don't know how to really explain it. I just don't feel like that's been Nebraska's strong suit to be able to do that and play that kind of game.
Yeah, and God bless Adrian Martinez, and I feel bad because I think the most disappointing thing, and that'd be my next question coming up, is the offensive line, because they were getting to Martinez without blitzing. They yeah. weren't blitzing. They were just yeah. beating you up front with three or four dudes. But with yeah. that, Coach Frost said yesterday he's going to spend some more time with the offensive line this week. He's going to be poking his head in there and going, all right, let's get this fixed. How do you take that? Because I had somebody text me about it. It's like, all right, is it the boss man saying, you haven't figured it out, I'm going to give you another set of eyes? Or is it like a little lost faith when you see that?
Probably a little bit of both, but I would also say to you, I'd also ask the question, why just right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what? This has not been something that's brand new. It hasn't just reared its ugly head in East Lansing. It's happened in Norman. It happened in Champaign. It happened last season. And I know Scott is doing this out of necessity, right? And mm-hmm. and I guess that he needs to be commended on, you know, kind of coming out of that head coaching role, because I think that was one of the things that was so terrific about him as a head coach at UCF, is when he had to go out and get a guy that could emulate, you know, a guy that could run the triple option. He put a helmet on and went out there when they had to play against Navy and gave the defense a good look. I think his, you know, football acumen and IQ are incredibly high, and I think that he can go down there and he could probably give some insight and maybe potentially help some things out and clean some things up. The question obviously is just about timing, because these have been the same things that we've talked about since week one and going into last season. So I think that what you can take away from this is that he recognizes that it's out of sorts and that they have to figure out what the actual root cause of the issues are. Is this a need that he can clean some things up based on some technique? Does he have to widen the gaps? Because that's one thing that really is kind of driving me a little bit crazy right now, too, is that these guys are almost like foot to foot. And I think that you're going to get potentially something out of that in the run game, or even, you know, to kind of keep the edge rushers a little bit further away from Martinez by kind of creating some space. I'm not talking about Mike Leach, you know, one-yard splits.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about a little bit more than maybe what they're going with right now. That could potentially help out. So there's some things that he, I think, could shed some light on, or they could play around with a little bit to see, you know, like what kind of benefits there are. It's just, you know, like I said, this has been an ongoing deal. So obviously he now is realizing that he needs to go spend some time over there, because that part of the house needs to be addressed.
We're talking to Brian Munson with HuskerOnline.com. So we know Frost also sat in on that special teams meeting the other day, and I kind of have two parts to this question, Brian, and I think you could answer this perfectly. You know, looking at most football programs, and when it comes to having a special teams coordinator, do most teams have one guy and he's focused on just that one thing, or do most teams have a coach who's focusing on special teams and another position?
So the trend more lately has been to just give that up to one guy, that he gets basically his time beginning of practice is like the first 20-minute period, because like each day, like their practices are all timed out and they are scripted. But usually there's like a 15 to 20-minute period that kind of starts out practice, and that guy gets a chance to go out there and do his special teams. And that was one of my questions back to the people on the board, too, because I didn't know, like, if people wanted to say, like, walking from having an analyst and putting a special teams coordinator in place, I wanted to see what, you know, like, they felt like the teams coordinator had an ability to turn that the analyst could not turn, could convince it up to the coaching staff to get them to turn them. And I don't really quite have that answered, but the trend obviously is more, you have one guy that sits there, and they do have tags of the special team coordinator, but I think that more so that's growing to be a full spot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Northwestern. They got just a guy coaching special teams, and then Wisconsin as well. So my next question is, like, are you convinced that Mike Dawson doing linebackers and special teams, are you convinced that that's working?
No. And I think it's very clear that it's not. And it's not really a shot at Mike, because I think that what we would say based on trend nationally is that the other schools that probably aren't having to talk about special teams week after week are finding out that it's paying off to have a person in that position full time. What that does, however, is it creates tasks of the rest of your responsibilities and how your assistant coaches are going to be divvied up and what they're going to do. It makes it a little bit tighter. But you should, I think Nebraska needs to go back and really look at getting a guy, whether that's Bush or Snyder, or, you know, I think Mike Eckler now is doing this at Tennessee as well, Knoxville. Obviously, that's a name that Nebraska fans know about. Yeah. So that could be something that I think Nebraska needs to go back and figure out. I'm more concerned on what the process is currently and why that's not working and why that gets fit when we bring a dedicated person in there. Because if they don't have that figured out, then they're not planning this correctly. They've got to figure out what parts are process that aren't working and plan this out as to, this is your responsibility. This is a part we cannot take the rubber to the road. This is what you need to do. And that's the part that's very critical, and basically the person's objectives if they go that way.
Again, we're speaking to Brian Munson, HuskerOnline.com. Brian, we're turning our attention. Obviously, we got Northwestern this week, and the series is always tough. Again, opening like a 10-point, whatever. Don't even care about what the line is at this point, the way we play and the way we like to hand things away. But before we get into the game a little bit, night affair, the lights, the crowd, roll out some recruits, baby. Roll them out, red carpet out. Kind of give us an update on who we can expect to see and what it'll be like down there.
Yeah, you know, we got some confirmations, at least for, so I did just get this confirmed. Reese Mooney is not coming in this weekend now, and it's mainly because of his ankle injury. He's coming in for Michigan, since Michigan got moved to a night game too. So Nebraska has a couple of really nice spots coming up. But where Nebraska misses out on hosting a 2023 quarterback recruit, they do get a chance to host a 2024 guy. Dylan Raiola will be there with his father. And that there is just an absolute huge one for Nebraska, because I think that it's very easy to say that that's got to be Nebraska's top guy on their board when it comes to the 2024 class. I'm going to butcher this last name, but Charles Jagusaw from Rock Island, Illinois, is a four-star offensive tackle in the 2023 class. I also confirmed that he will be coming in on Saturday. Then, you know, I got some more guys. Like, it seems to be that the top 2023 guys are either Northwestern or Michigan. So, like, Asa Newsom, for example, he's coming in for Michigan. So we know about two or three guys, 2023, 2024 guys, and we have London Hall, obviously coming in, who's a defensive back for the 2022 as an official visitor. But we don't have a lot more news of 2022 names, particularly in the space of defensive backs and offensive line. So I would just tell everybody to kind of stay tuned. These things typically have a way of kind of keeping themselves concealed until about Thursday. And then come Thursday, there's going to be a bunch of news. And I think that that's when things are going to kind of break open a little bit.
Do you see, like, in this whole realm of recruiting, and so like you said, you get them confirmed, like, later in the week, do you see sometimes that they go to different games based on the opponent and the timing of the game? Because I feel like it's in Nebraska's benefit sometimes to have that night affair against Michigan on ABC. Does that make that's a huge difference, right? National TV, the opponent, the lights, all that, versus at 11 o'clock or at 2:30.
There are some absolutely, well, so there's two things. There's some pageantry that kind of comes along with an atmosphere that kind of comes along with an evening game at Memorial Stadium, I think, that we would all agree with. That's just, it's tough to kind of duplicate. You know, but there's the other side of that too, right, where, you know, the fans have an ability to kind of stew a little bit, let's put it that way, before they get into the stands for a 6 o'clock start versus an 11 o'clock start. And while they're maybe down hanging out in the Haymarket the night before, you know, that's a good thing on a Friday night. But the next morning at 9 o'clock when you're having to get over there to the stadium and it's really bright and early, it's typically, you know, kind of kick-starting you and it's not really working too well. So I think it absolutely is it's Nebraska's benefit to get a little bit wilder, more lively crowd for an evening game. And obviously then you tie that back to, this is Michigan. This is the school here that everybody recognizes basically in the same breath as Nebraska when it comes to blue blood and most winningest programs. Nebraska and Michigan are right there. So this is a big game regardless of Nebraska's record currently or what, you know, or next week or whatever everybody's talking about. But with Northwestern, we've always kind of, you know, treated that as Nebraska hasn't had a lot of success against them since coming to the Big Ten. And it's always one of the most physical games of the season. So I think that you can also sell this one, despite it not having, like, that ranking appeal next week. You can also sell the Northwestern game just based on those other two facts.
We're talking to Brian Munson. Brian, I mean this genuinely. Are we recruiting any punters out there?
I don't know of any. In fact, I kind of threw out a place kicker's name from Kansas that's pretty interesting. He's got some kickoffs and some field goal numbers that I think people need to take a look at. But as far as like punters are concerned, no. The short answer is no. And the bad news about that currently the portal, it's pretty dry.
Great.
It's pretty dry in terms of like special teams. So
perfect.
And unless some things change in that November December timeline, which I think that they will. You know, that could impact Nebraska for like the spring semester. I think that that's a possibility, but as of right now, there is no movement there. It's definitely something I'm keeping an eye on. I think Nebraska, even if they were having another Connor Culp type of season like they had last year, that they'd have to keep their eyes to the portal again because they have so much inexperienced but talented legs back there that I think they still need somebody to come in there and kind of lead the way and get those other guys to develop, you know, underneath a person who has like one more year of eligibility left.
So I guess, you know, we're kind of seeing a downside to relying on the portal too much, right?
I absolutely feel like it gets pumped up so much because there's so many people that are in it, but it's really not those special teams guys. And I feel like that's a little bit of a misnomer. It's a little misleading when you say, oh, they'll just use the portal. Well, if you're talking about what's in there right now, in my opinion, doesn't seem to be an upgrade. So I think Nebraska's going to have to be patient here or start scouring, you know, the JUCO high school ranks to see if there's somebody else they can bring in.
Brian, looking ahead to Saturday coming up, obviously we know the history in the last couple 10 years with Northwestern Nebraska. It's been a dogfight, man, with these two teams. How do you see this thing playing out? Obviously, we know document with Northwestern. I want to say I read they only bring back like 29% of their production on offense. They've got bad quarterback play, losing running backs left and right. Do you? I mean, the line's at 10. It's gone to 11 at some things. Is this a game Nebraska should just dominate?
Oh, boy. you think it sets up that way, but it's like everything that you said there positively, I know there's another Nebraska fan that's rolling their eyes somewhere else out there in radio land that's going, we've heard this before. Mm-hmm. And we've seen these matchups before where Nebraska should have this unbelievable edge. Nebraska is going to win Saturday, number one. The margin of victory, however, is going to be really determined by how much that defense can just absolutely keep Northwestern out of the end zone and keep them away from kicking field goals. I think this offense is going to struggle again on Saturday night, unfortunately. I just don't see things like being able to kind of clean the things up that they need to kind of get done unless you start talking about some serious personnel changes. And you might see that. You could see potentially like a Lutowski and a Prochazka roll out there in the second half and say, okay, guys, second half is yours.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what you can do. Maybe they're up by 13. You know, maybe they're up by 14 going into half. And they say, every other series or every third series or whatever is yours. I think Nebraska needs to start getting an idea of whether or not they have some guys on the sideline that could be in the middle of a redshirt year that could help this team right now. And I don't know if that's great news for those guys because they could get pulled out right now after having missed the first five games or actually having played, and Teddy's played in one of them. But they need to probably still figure out what they can and can't accomplish this season if they pull one or both those guys out of a redshirt.
We're talking to Brian Munson with HuskerOnline.com. A few more minutes left. Brian, looking at what we're ending this season with, you know, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Iowa, you know, looking at these next four games, this is probably the, you know, the most opportunities to get some wins and get closer to that bowl record. How important are these next four games for Nebraska?
They're huge. I mean, but it really started last week. That's the unfortunate part about it. I mean, Nebraska missed a great opportunity against Illinois in week one, and I think we'll all go back and point to that one on the calendar and say, oh, that's just like the one that you can go back in your head, and this is maybe even before Michigan State, and said Nebraska should never have lost that game. Nebraska should never have lost on this Saturday night either. So these next three or four games are incredibly critical to Nebraska and bowl eligibility. If the defense plays like it has against a Wisconsin, against an Iowa, and you know, even Ohio State, that's not been all that impressive. And I wasn't impressed with Wisconsin last week, really, against Notre Dame. I think that there's a chance right now, and I feel a lot better about things against Minnesota after what happened against Bowling Green last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's some – I think the overall – thing is here, guys, is that the Big Ten is not as good this year as what it was last year, and Nebraska is still struggling to kind of find an identity, but they're really close. They have an identity on defense. They've shown some flashes on offense. They have incredible inconsistencies, though, and their special teams is just, it needs to be completely and totally, like, revamped entirely, but they're really, really close in a lot of areas, and this is still the schedule based on what these other teams are doing so far this year for them to have these struggles, because it puts them in contention for all of these games.
Brian, as always, man, it's a pleasure to have you on a Tuesday, and so much great insight, man. We appreciate you.
Where can people read your stuff, Brian, if they want to go check you out?
Husker Online. We're going to have a couple of really nice local recruiting updates here in the coming days, and my Three and Out is going to cover some visitors, for this week and next week. That'll be up tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Brian, man. Have a great Tuesday, man. We'll catch up with you real soon, sir.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Munson, HuskerOnline.com right there, man. Go check his stuff out. It's in depth. Right now he's got one. It's the commit stat check article where all the current verbal commits and what they did this past Friday in their games.
Very interesting. And we could dive into this tomorrow. You know, talking about just how we've prioritized recruiting, it sounds like when it comes to special teams, punter and kickers, you know, we're looking at the portal. And
ain't there.
We're not even looking at recruits. You know, it's like,
they're going to try to fix
it. That's not good.
They're going to fix it, Will.
I hope.
Frost is going to watch it now. Starting to care about it.
Well, tomorrow, Robin. We'll talk to him.
Rob, a little basketball. We'll recap Wash It with Wash It on Fred Hoiberg's first presser. Good stuff. So, Robin, and we'll talk more Huskers. There'll be more talk about Huskers. We'll start previewing Northwestern a little bit and giving you guys some things you might want to know about Northwestern. So, you guys have a great Tuesday. Will and I will catch you on a hump day.